As most of you already know this, David was a shepherd, and he had a heart for sheep. He understood sheep. He knew something about sheep. He knew quite a bit about them. And there's so much about sheep that is a picture, metaphorically speaking, of God's children. And I don't mean this in a bad sense, but sheep are weak. And Sister Lori and I had a flock of sheep. When we had a horse farm, we had horses and we had sheep. I've never seen anything quite so weak as sheep, literally born into this world looking for a place to lay down and die. We had so many died one spring. I told Miss Lori I was going to start burying them with their feet sticking up, hope maybe they'd sprout. I couldn't raise them no other way. They're tender. But look in the scripture in Psalm number 23. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Did you know a sheep will thirst to death before it'll drink out of fast moving water? They're scared of it. They got to have slow, easy moving water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You realize as you read through this, there's a metaphor involved in everything that's being said here. He restoreth my soul. There's times that a sheep needs to be restored. I mean, they got to be restored. They get to carrying that wool around, Brother Danny, and a sheep lays down and they can get flopped over on their back. And did you know when they're full in their wool, a sheep can't even get back up by themselves? And they'll lay there and literally kick until they wear themselves out and lose the will to live and die just because they got rolled over on their back. I know some people, I know some preachers been in that place. Just get tired. Just get weary. Get tired of kicking. Can't kick no more. Lose strength. And there's got to be some times in your life, God's got to give you some rest. God's got to give you a break. And I realize there's some of you who work hard. You do hard manual labor. You've got to have a break from your work. And if you don't work hard labor, I guarantee you almost everyone under the sound of my voice, the devil's arranged things this way in these last days. You've got pressures on you that your forefathers and our ancestors didn't know anything about. I remember my Aunt Sally, my mother's sister, and I loved her dearly, and my mother's sisters, they took care of me like I was their own. And I spent a lot of time with my Aunt Sally. She did have electricity. She just didn't use it. And she had an old wood cook stove in the basement. And she had an electric stove down there too. She just didn't use it. And she'd use that old wood cook stove and that heat with wood and with coal. And they had an outhouse and one of them thunder buckets under the edge of the bed. They lived a meager lifestyle. Every morning, my Uncle Harm, his first duty in the morning was to walk down to the spring, carried a peck bucket, went down there and got water out of the spring, walked back up to the house every morning. And I'm not that old. They lived that primitive for a pretty long time. And I thought about at one time in my life what a primitive life they lived. And the older I got, the more I was aware of the fact, Brother Danny, they had a pretty simple life. They didn't get burdened down with a lot of things a lot of folks get burdened down with. But Satan has orchestrated in these last days that we've got to have our hands in everything. We've got so much electronics. We can't get our nose out of our phone. We can't get our nose out of our computers. A few years ago, people couldn't get their nose out of their television. Folks got no time to spend alone with God. And the most precious thing that I have, the most precious thing that I have is my time alone with God. And did you know that everything in this world would try to interrupt your time alone with God? I'm talking about Him restoring your soul. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I like to walk and pray. I've walked 300 miles this year right out here in this parking lot just talking to the Lord. A few days ago, not been many days ago, I just needed to hear from God, came out. I'm going to go walk around the parking lot, got up here in the parking lot, and there's some dude that bought him a camper, and he's up here practicing backing his camper up. You know, just somebody. I come up here this morning, there's two young folks from the state checking people's wells, and, you know, all I'm going to do is just get along with God. My wife and I have had a good practice. December, we'll be married 40 years. We're sweethearts for a lot of years before we was ever married. And I make it a real practice in our house. My wife and I spend a whole lot of time just sitting and talking to one another. I mean, turn the computer off, turn all that other mess off, and just sit down and spend some time. Sometimes we'll sit up half the night just sitting up in the bed in the dark talking, sharing our burdens with one another, and then praying with one another. It does me good, Brother Daddy, to shut this world out. And there's times that God has got to shut this world out and shut the mouth of the devil. And if God don't do that, you ain't going to get a breath. God has to help us with that sometimes. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Those are good paths. They're clear. There ain't a lot of stumbling blocks in them. Not a lot of obstacles in the way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's worth more than anything I know of in my world to know God's near. Brother Danny, I've got a lot of fears in life, and I'm like a whole lot of you lately. I've woke myself up in some pretty bad nightmares lately, and I know you have too, and I'm not going to say a lot about that. Brother Danny, of all the fears I have in life, the biggest fear I've got is hurting God and God leaving me alone. I don't want to be left alone. I don't want to be left alone. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Boy, I can tell you time after time in my life that my enemy thought that I was absolutely down for the count, Brother Ed. I mean, I thought I was out of this thing, and I believe the devil was rejoicing it's over, and my life's over, my ministry's over, and God sat right down in the middle of a patch of hell and break out a picnic basket and feed me right in front of my enemies. He's done that for me so many times in my life, and I bless his holy name. He's done that for me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now that cup, If you're going to study in context, that cup's got to do with the table that he set. That cup's got to do with the filling or the infilling or the overflow of the Holy Ghost of God inside of us. God made it this way with us children, that we get full of the Holy Ghost of God, and we come in this building, and you may be downcast, you may be downtrodden, you may be having a hard day, you may be having a hard time, maybe a whole lot of bad going on in your world. Here's why it's so important for us to meet together, and why it's so important for you to walk with God during the day, to spend some time with God during the day, because you can come to the house of God and I can come in and I'm so beat down. I mean, I don't even know whether I'm saved or not. You know, I'm just a mess. My world's falling apart, and I can come in, Miss Sheila get to crying and snotting and telling about God saving her, and she's full and running over, and it sloshes out of her cup and gets in mine. That's how it works. Now, that's part of my job, to be full of God, to try to feed you and try to help you. But I'll just have to be honest, I ain't full all the time either. Well, I've been honest with you, I ain't. Sometimes I get to running low. The infilling of the Holy Ghost of God, you're baptized into the body of Christ one time. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a one-time deal. But the infilling of the Holy Ghost is a regular operation. You know why? We leak. I leak. You leak. Some of us more than others. Some like a sieve. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God will help me. I've read you this. I'm just going to give you a couple things, and I'll hit the high spots. I won't belabor this tonight. We're talking about a shepherd. By definition, A shepherd means to tend the flock, that is, to pasture a flock. As a general rule, by extension, it's associated with as being a friend and as being a companion, as keeping company with, or used as a friend or to make friendship with. It means a herdman or to keep sheep or to pastor, as in to pastor a church, to pastor. That's where the word pastor comes from. It's a shepherd, one that pastors sheep. There's three words, you note takers, I'll give you real quick. The first one is to pastor. I'm glad the Lord's my pastor, because he knows how to lead sheep. When this was written during this time, they didn't have no 5-strand barbed wire fence. That ain't how you kept sheep in. Sheep were kept in a pen that was called a sheep cote or a sheep cot at night to protect from wolves and such as that. But then every morning that shepherd would have to go out and take those sheep and call them and lead them out of the sheep cote and lead them out to a place where he's taking them for daytime grazing. By nature, sheep are prone to wander. They will not remain together as a flock. They'll scatter, they'll break apart in little groups. Me and Miss Lori had sheep. I don't remember now how many we had in our flock, but there were several. In our front yard, just in front of the house, was about a 14-acre pasture. And I could turn them thing out, get them out of the smaller paddock and put them in that 14-acre pasture. And you'd watch them for a little while and there'd be a big bunch. And then all of a sudden there'd be two over here. There'd be three over here and there'd one be way off yonder by itself and they'd separate out. And that's why if a church is ever in need of a pastor, they have to understand sheep don't lead sheep. Because they'll be like the blind leading the blind. They'll both be in the ditch because sheep will scatter. They won't naturally stay together. It's just part of the nature of a sheep. And they've got no idea where to go to find food, and they must be tended. They must be led in pasture. I'm sure glad the Lord knows how to lead me. I think it's very difficult sometimes in life, and I've had this problem, and God knows my heart, that I wire myself out from time to time trying to figure out what the will of God is, where to go, what to do, how to do it, and how to get there, and this, that, and the other. But it sure is a glorious day when you can figure out that God don't expect you to figure all that stuff out. Just follow him. Just follow him. But if you're going to follow him, you got to be close to him, and he cannot feed you where he cannot lead you. Can I say that again? He cannot, will not feed you where he will, where he does not lead you. If you're not following him, he can't feed you. I see a lot of pastors, I've heard this all my life, statement time and time again. A pastor leaves the church and makes this statement. He said, I've taken the church as far as I can take it. Which being interpreted means that I've taken this church as far as you're willing to follow me. I've heard a lot of folks make this statement of pastors and they say everything rises and falls in leadership. Well, there's some truth to that. A lot of things do rise and fall in leadership, but not everything, because you can't lead people won't follow. That has nothing to do with leadership. That has to do with following. But I'm glad the Lord's my pastor. I'm glad he knows how to lead sheep. Brother Danny, if everybody else fails me, I know he knows where to lead me to. And I remember a time in my life as a young preacher, I'd left the mission field in Wyoming. I'd come back to North Carolina. And my pastor, my physical pastor, the church that I attended, came to visit me one day, looked at me and said, Brother Mike, you had a better church in Wyoming than I've got in North Carolina. And he said, I cannot believe it's the will of God for you to leave Wyoming. And he said, the best thing you can do is find a place where you can feel God and go there. I'm telling you, my pastor invited me to leave the church because he didn't think I knew the will of God. But you know what? I'm glad the Lord's my shepherd. And even when my pastor failed me, he ain't ever going to fail me. Miss Sheila, I love you folks. Brother CL, I love you with all my heart. I may fail you one day. I may absolutely fall flat on my face in front of every one of you and fail you and break your heart absolutely so bad you don't even know what happened. But I'm telling you, there's one that won't. His name's Jesus. He's the shepherd of your soul if you're saved. I heard the awful story yesterday. It absolutely broke my heart. I never even told my wife yesterday. A church that we know and love, and if I mentioned that church, everybody in this building would know that church, big church within driving distance of here. I had a man from a Bible college, a professor, doctor, told me yesterday he had trained this man. He'd been in the Bible college. They were about to call him, and he was fixing to go to this church that every one of us know. I feel sure. I know my wife and I know it very well. And he said they were about to call this man, and now this man's facing charges that he was messing with an underage girl over in Tennessee and went over in Tennessee to meet this underage girl and got there and found out the whole thing was a sting, and they arrested him. Brother Danny, I'm not sure I know what to say about that. I'll just leave that alone, and I'll say this. There's going to be times if you keep your eyes on people, people let you down. I mean, even sometimes you think folks are good and they'll absolutely leave you sitting out in the dust somewhere, scratching your head wondering what happened. But I'm glad I got a pastor. But he's not only a pastor and he knows how to lead sheep, he's a provider and he knows how to feed sheep. You know, Miss Lloyd, not only is he my provider, he is the provision. Listen, if you got Jesus, you got everything. If you've got him, you've got everything. I've had a very unusual circumstance happen. Somehow or another, I don't understand all about that. But I ask the Lord to bless our social media and bless the broadcasting that we do and the messages that we post. And somehow or another, my own personal social media went public in Southeast Asia. This week, I got 300 plus friend request in 3 days. And I came to a real earnest conclusion in a lot of these poverty-stricken countries. Brother C.L., there's a whole bunch of them folks wanting to be my friend because they thought that American pastor can help us. But I'm going to tell you what, if you follow God, God will take you some places there ain't going to be nobody can help you but Jesus. Because he is your provider. He is your provider. I've known some people had a whole lot of money, Miss Lori, and you have too. We had associations with the family, and they had money. I mean money, hand over fist, business after business. And the man became very good at starting a business, took his own money, his capital. He would start a successful business, teach somebody to run the business, then sell it to them at a profit, and then go have another business. And his wife got my wife alone one day in a little old house, and we were up in the country, and they had this little place up in the country where they had a cabin. They wanted us to come up there and deliver this camper that they'd bought from us, and they said, we got this little place up there. We got 400 acres that we go to on the weekends up there where our cabin's at. I was getting that camper situated. Miss Lori was in the house with this woman, and she's talking to my wife, pouring her heart out, and she is heartsick. And she don't even know my wife. She's just getting acquainted with us, and she's telling her life story. And she was literally telling Sister Lori how miserable her life was. Ain't no telling how many millions of dollars they're worth. I've got a dear, dear, dear friend, and he works hard and makes big money, Brother Danny. He does multi-million dollar contracts. He loves us. He's good to us. I've got to be real careful what I tell him I need or want, or they'll just go out and get it for us. And they're just sweet, sweet folks, and I love them. But some of the struggles and some of the burdens that they carry, sometimes, Miss Michelle, he can't even talk to me. I remember one time I walked in the house, walked into the garage, and he turned and walked out the back door, and I thought, what in the world is wrong with him? What is he mad at me over? Brother C.L., he wasn't mad at me. He was so depressed he couldn't face anybody. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying money won't fix all your problems. And if you're thinking it will, you're thinking wrong. Jesus is the answer to the problems. Your relationship, your closeness to the shepherd is the answer to your problems. All that other stuff is superficial compared to walking with God, knowing God. I'm talking about he's my pastor. He knows how to lead sheep, but he's my provider. He knows how to feed sheep. He is the Word, and the Word of God's food for your soul. Remember when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus when he had fasted 40 days in the wilderness in Matthew 4. Jesus answered Satan and said to him, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Brother Danny, this word hidden in your heart is more valuable than silver and gold. There's something about this word being in your heart that lets you know things. I mean, it's your provision. God gives that to you. I'm through. I told you I was going to hit the high spots. He's my pastor because he knows how to lead sheep. He's my provider because he knows how to feed sheep. And he's my protection because he knows how to heed sheep. The word heed means to pay attention to. I'm glad, Miss Sheila, when everybody else don't know what the preacher's going through, I'm glad he knows because he's paying attention because he's my shepherd and he's my pastor. He's my provider, but he's my protector. And he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." There's two parts to that, and I'm not going to get into all that, but that shepherd's rod was a rod that he could use to He wasn't using that rod to correct sheep. He was using that rod to beat the wolves off. And that staff with that shepherd's hook on the end of it, Brother Danny, that ain't for knocking sheep in the head with. That's for taking that hook when a sheep is starting to stray too far out or it gets in the ditch, that he can take that hook and one, he's wanting to get a hold of one to doctor it or give it medicine, pour oil on its head or do whatever. If that sheep turns from it, he can take that hook and hook under its leg and get a hold of it so he can keep it close to him. I'm telling you, the most precious place you're ever going to be is to get just as close to the side of the shepherd as you can get. And you can let all hell break loose and it don't matter what's going on. If you're close enough to the shepherd, it's going to be okay because he's there to take care of it because he's eating the sheep. He's leading the sheep. He's feeding the sheep. He's eating the sheep. My wife and I lived several years in Wyoming, and there's a people out there, an ethnic group of people called Basque people. And you see a lot of Basque wagons. It's a wagon that is literally sort of made into a camper. You usually got a stovepipe going out the top of it. And those Basque people would take that Basque wagon out into the sheep fields and the pastures, and they'll literally stay in that out there with them like a little camper. I had a preacher friend that was visiting with me, and we were living in Basin, Wyoming, and we lived just at the foot of the Bighorn Mountains. And that's all public land. About 90% of the state of Wyoming is public land, only 10% of private property in the whole state. My friend wanted me to go up with him, and Sister Lori and I went and got to notice him, Brother Danny. And we rode up on top of the mountain up across the Bighorn Mountains on Highway 16. And as you're going across the Bighorn Mountains and you're getting up into high elevations up to 8, 9, nearly 10,000 feet, high mountains, big open fields. And sometime about June, the grass turns green up there and it's public grazing land. And my buddy, Brother Tim, took me up there one time, and Miss Lori and I went back later, and it's just like an ocean of sheep all over everywhere around in those green fields. Brother Danny, you could see all of those sheep, and there wasn't a Basque wagon anywhere to be seen. But he said, "Look out there in the edge of the woods." And out there in the edge of the woods, in the shadows near those sheep, was a Basque man, cowboy, sitting on a horse with a high-powered rifle with a scope watching over them sheep. That may not mean a thing to you, but I sure am glad he's my protector tonight. That I can eat in comfort knowing that God's a watching over me. He was watching for the coyotes or the wolves or the bears or whatever might would come out and hurt those sheep. And he wasn't just out there for everybody to see. He was just back in the shadows watching, taking care of them sheep. Brother Danny, there's sometimes that I don't know where God's at and I can't find him, and I'm looking and I can't find him. But I can assure you with everything in me on the authority of God's word, it don't matter whether I can find him or not, he's watching over me. And when you can't track him, you can trust him. You've heard that a million times, but it's still true. When you can't track him, you can still trust him. Why? Because he's my shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And I appreciate him being my shepherd, because sometimes people will fail you. Sometimes I'll fail you. Sometimes people, you got a lot of confidence and it'll let you down. But I'm going to tell you what, we got a good shepherd.